Third and three. Fields, open field, and a touchdown.
Well, after no signs of life the first three series, the Steelers this time go 70 yards for the touchdown.
And last year, everybody was talking about how they were going to probably end up with the first pick and jettison Justin, which they did for a sixth-round draft pick, by the way. And now he's undefeated as the signal caller for the Steelers.
Yes, he is. The Steelers at 3-0 have a two-game lead over their contemporaries in the AFC North. And I do think this was their most impressive victory to date. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We want to hear from you all morning long. You can give us a ring, 412-928-9370 on the Fan Hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Simple question, Doran. Is this a good football team? I'm starting to buy in.
I think that might be too. And it's not because of, you know, really their direct play. It is, obviously, but I think it's because I've watched so many other games around the NFL that I'm like, in comparison of the Steelers, I'm like, all right, let's match up. Let's measure up the Steelers with this team. Let's do them with this team. Like, at this point, I'm like, maybe they're the most complete team. I don't know if they're a great, great football team, but they're definitely the most complete that I've seen. Like, from offense to defense and special teams and just the whole gamut of everything, I think that they might be the most complete football team. I'm trending in that direction. They might be pretty good.
I think they're pretty good. I think that's a perfect characterization. I don't think they're a great football team. It's September. You don't have to be. They're sort of, in a way, treating this like an extension of the preseason. A lot of teams are doing that. I mean, you had Mason McCormick switching in and out with Spencer Anderson a little bit, and then you had him as the extra tight end because Michael Pruitt was out, and so you experimented with a little bit of that. They've had specific game plans for opponent. We don't see that with the Steelers. Haven't seen that the last few years. Game one, don't throw it one time into the middle of the field. This game, 15 times into the middle of the field. We've talked about the Steelers don't want to turn it over. They want to protect the football. Well, guess what? They did turn the football over. Two things to that. One, they lost the turnover battle and won by double digits. They have not done that since 2018. Mm. That is impressive to me. This isn't a team that wants to do it that way. That no team wants to lose the turnover battle, but they did, and they still really could have won by 17 points. I mean, you're kneeling on the ball at the half-yard line at the end of the game. They easily could have put up 27 points in this football game. So you win by double digits despite losing the turnover battle. And we've talked about different ways to win with defense, Thorne, right? Like, you can just control the clock and you can run the ball and win with defense. Don't keep them on the field a lot. Steelers turn it over. It's 10-10. The game hung in the balance. And the Steelers defense goes 3-and-out. Right? First play, the sack that hurts Justin Herbert. Three plays, negative 4 yards on the drive for the Chargers. You're allowed to bow up. You're allowed to make a play or a series of plays after your team turns it over, which is why I think they should probably loosen things up a little bit. But yeah, I think it's a pretty good team, man. The offense ain't blowing you away, but this was their best, most complete offensive performance to date. And the defense, it's the best in the NFL. And I think they took it personally that the Chargers were ranked higher than them. Yeah. Mike Tomlin kind of made that a talking point all week long. And then after the game, he was talking about it. And TJ Watt was talking about it. Steelers only giving up 8.7 points per game. Best in the NFL. Sidney Crosby likes that. I am looking at a complete team. Boswell misses the what would have been the longest kick in Heinz Field history. So what?
Okay.
He winds up kicking another couple. Corliss Waitman good on special teams. Yeah, I do think it's a complete football team, Doran. And I don't know that it's a top five team or anything like that in the NFL, but you can see maybe baby steps,
yep.
Maybe not baby steps, but you can see steps where the team's getting better too.
Yeah, they understand their assignment. They understand what they're doing, especially in offense. And, you know, that's something that we haven't seen in multiple years here in Pittsburgh is, you know, just not just running plays just to run them and not just calling defenses just to call them. There's a method to their madness. And it was nice to see finally like what it could have looked like throughout the first two games if those penalties weren't thrown.
Yeah.
It would have looked like that. And then what will we be talking about? Like 240 yards, 242 yards, whatever that Justin Fields had around there. I mean, that's probably what he would have done in the first two games if there wasn't those penalties.
Good point.
So, man, there's a larger conversation that we're probably going to have at some point around this quarterback situation. But seeing the way that Justin Fields just operated yesterday, you could just tell that he is getting more comfortable. He's understanding his assignment better. He's just, he's starting to settle in. And that is very, very promising if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers, because those are the questions that you were asking. That's why you acquired Justin Fields, is because we have a lot of questions, but we're enamored. So can we fix some of the things that we're, enamored by or not enamored by that he does wrong? Can we fix those and still be enamored? And I think that they're on the way of doing that.
I agree.
And that's your future. Regardless of what the situation holds this year with Russ or whatever, but I think that Justin Fields is your future at this point.
I can't rule it out, and I'm closer to believing that than I have been at any other point. Three consecutive games of a quarterback rating over 90. He is 11th in the league in quarterback rating, which with this defense playing like that, you've got a chance to win a ton of football games here. Yeah, he throws an interception. Okay.
I mean, it bounced up in the air like that. I don't know if I count that. He didn't, throw it.
I think when you let go of that football, you think worst case scenario is that thing gets knocked down.
Yeah.
And it winds up bouncing around off 16 different guys. I'm actually watching. It just popped up on the highlights right here. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's going to happen from time to time. He's going to throw a bad interception or two as well. He's going to have a bad game at some point. You're not going to find quarterbacks more often than not around the league. Like, the list might be one or two guys that are going to go 17 games and not have a bad game. Mm-hmm. We've yet to see a bad game, though, from Justin Fields. 25 of 32, 245, one touchdown, one pick, had a rush touchdown, quarterback rating of 96. And the stats could have been better. He threw a BB on the money to our guy, Pat Freiermuth, down the middle of the field. And Pat will tell you, 9 times out of 10, you got to come down with that football. Maybe more than that. That's a hell of a throw. I thought the throw to Calvin Austin deserves a ton of credit for doing a lot of the legwork there, but that's a really good throw where he finds the hole in zone coverage and he waited till the appropriate moment to throw it. His accuracy, Doran.
Yeah, it's money.
You talk about things to be enamored with. The talent's always been there.
Right.
Accuracy hasn't been his strength, the 60% completion percentage in his career. He was throwing dots out there. He's got a completion percentage of 73.3. He's one of the most accurate quarterbacks going right now in the National Football League. Didn't know he had that.
I mean, some of those low balls too, on purpose low balls, I was wow, this guy is darting.
Yeah.
He's pinpointing. The one, it was going across, I think it might have been the Freiermuth drop. It was so low.
Yeah.
It was on purpose low because he knew that the defender was going to get it if it was at the mid-level or too high. That was on purpose. And that was an unbelievable throw.
It was.
Unbelievable.
That was his best throw of the day, I think, despite it getting dropped by Patty Fry. And like we said, Patty, he's going to catch that ball more often than not. Calvin Austin makes plays. At least for this game, he's wide receiver two. Scotty Miller on that key third down breaks a tackle. Boy, I want to give that guy credit. Two catches, 33 yards. The one, like I mentioned, on third down. A couple games ago, first game has to come in be your emergency holder.
Yeah.
Last game has to come in as your emergency gunner. He's a useful player.
Yes.
You've been talking about Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson in this game, used as a wide receiver at times. At the end of the game, when you're trying to seal it, used as a running back. He comes through in the jet sweep motion, and Dorn. Who the hell wants to tackle that guy in the fourth quarter?
No.
Oh, my God.
He can still run, and he runs hard. He's 230-some pounds. Yeah, you don't want that.
Once he gets going downhill, he's a monster.
Yep.
Najee Harris, not good. Running game, not good. First half, second half, turned it around because they just kept handing the football off. We're kind of hitting on everything right now. It was a complete team win is the point here. Steelers average 6.8 yards per pass, which is not this huge number, but better than where it was last year. Steelers last season were 28th in the league in scoring. Through three games, they're 23rd in the league in scoring. The defense better than last year. First in points allowed. Third in rush defense. Sixth in pass defense. They've got a +4 turnover differential. What I'm saying here is it's okay to look at the Steelers and say, they're still not scoring a ton of points. And, oh, what's this going to mean against the Chiefs or blah, blah, blah. For who they've played so far, what they've accomplished, you literally can't have won more games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's okay for right now to say, hey, all y'all out there listening, all yins out there listening, your favorite football team, might be Pitt too, your favorite football team right now, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's okay to say that.
And they're undefeated.
Undefeated. Yeah. And you can't have done more. And I want to come back to this one more time. I wish Najee Harris would have scored on that final carry of his, because the first two games, you had the push-off. You referenced this already. You had the push-off that got called back. The Denver game, you have the hold that calls back the big throw to George Pickens running down the sideline. I would have liked to see them get one more touchdown in this game, because I feel like it would make things look the way that they should look statistically. Like, they're 23rd in the league in scoring at 17 points per game. They probably deserve to be a little bit better than that. Mm-hmm. I just think the eye test is telling us that this offense is significantly better than last year's. And if you could have gone in there and won 27-10, I think that's what should have happened. I think a lot of people would be going, okay, the Steelers offense really is making strides here.
Yes.
Is this a good football team? 412-928-9370. We'd love to hear from you on the text line brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. This bears mentioning as well. You don't see this a lot in the NFL. Steelers defense allowed -5 yards in the second half. They took it personal. Not their best half of football in the first. Give up a wide-open score. Well schemed, but you give up a wide-open score. I thought that Dobbins was doing some things. And then in the second half, they said, nah.
Shut it down.
Yeah, not in our house.
Nope.
Not happening here. And I don't want to look too far ahead, but, like, go take care of business against Indianapolis, too. I don't care if it's on the road. There'll be Steelers fans there. Go on the road and beat a young quarterback. Go get that done. Actually, we'll do a little bit of that when we come back. We got the injury report to get over. We want to talk about what Pitt did in their game against Youngstown State. So much football to talk about. Love doing it on a Victory Monday. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick, Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Do you think the Steelers are good? Simple question. Steelers had 3 penalties for 15 yards in the game. I think Mike Tomlin's done a great job through 3 games. A great job. And there will be a time in the season where we will take phone calls, get tweets. People will be criticizing the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's the way it goes in the NFL. That's the way it goes in professional sports. So I just want to make sure I get it out there. He's doing an awesome job right now.
Yeah.
An awesome job. Hey, we committed too many penalties. Here's how we're going to fix it. Bang. One game later, it's fixed. There's other reasons why I would say this has been a good coaching job so far by Mike Tomlin, and we'll have time to get into all that, but here's something we sucked at. We're not going to suck at it, and they don't. To me, that's the most obvious sign of good coaching, Doran.
Yes. Yes. Let's fix what we're not good at, and let's make sure that it's not a problem moving forward. They did that last year with the whole full pads in practice. Remember whenever they were about to play Baltimore? It's like, oh, it's the pads. Like, whatever works for you, it works for you.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't believe it. I'm like, okay, you're just going to slap pads on, and now all of a sudden you're going to become a physical football team. But Mike Tomlin knows how to win. I mean, I would never question, like, hey, if it works, I don't care who it is. Like, if it works for you, do it. If you think that it works, do it. And it did work. And some of the things that he does do, you'd be like, you'd look at it and be like, yeah, I don't know. But it worked for him, and he understands how to win. He's done it a lot of years. He's done this a lot of times over the years, and that is a good – even I think I talked to you offline. I don't know if it was we were on air or not, but I was like, I don't know about like refs being a practice. Like how many flags are they gonna throw? Like honestly.
We've talked about that going back for a while too. But if it works.
Yeah, it worked.
It works. And I had wondered aloud, and again, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air, Doran. Life bleeds in often. I said, why not just have them at the beginning of the year, every practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because you want to see if it's going to be an issue. And if it is, okay, now we can address it. And if it's not an issue, you don't even have to think about it. But it's sort of a bullet you got in the chamber. If we need to use this, we can use it. So I respect that from Mike Tomlin. Also, what were the Chargers good at? Running the football. And so you go into the game and you don't let them do the thing that they were good at. Another mark of good coaching. Oh, you want to run the ball? Oh, you have the best running back in the NFL through 2 weeks? Oh, 9.9 yards per carry? And you hold the Los Angeles Chargers to 61 rushing yards on 20 attempts. That's 3.1 yards per rush. Hey, I thought Dobbins made a couple of plays in the first half, but that's it. Couple of plays. They shut him down. Shut him down. And I know that Taylor Heinicke came in late, and some people are going to look at that and go, oh, you didn't beat a full complement. That's the NFL. Steelers didn't have their right tackle, who's going to be lost for the season because he broke his kneecap.
Didn't have their left guard.
Didn't have their left guard, who, in their opinion, and I think it's the right opinion, is their best offensive lineman. They suffered some injuries during the game. We'll get into that in a little bit, but including Alex Highsmith, who you paid a lot of money to, and the next guy just comes in, oh, has two sacks, just rolls out of bed, two sacks.
I really want to talk about that, like spend a whole segment on that.
Yeah.
I have a take. Well, yeah.
I can't wait to hear the take. Do you want to do it now?
No.
Okay, cool. We'll wait on that. We'll wait on that take. Now I'm like, I'm drooling. It's like you ring that bell, Pavlov's dog. It's, oh, Dorn's got taken. Drip, 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 drip. Gus Edwards, 3 carries, 9 yards. J.K. Dobbins, 15 carries, 44 yards. Again, I am not going to sit here. Like one, just peel back the curtain. One of the reasons why Monday's my favorite is because I watch the game, and I watch the highlights again at night, and I'll take in, I watched NFL primetime with Berman, and I just get the scope of the league, and I think I figure some stuff out. I'm excited because I sit down with you, 6 years NFL experience, played football your entire life, color commentator, and I know I'm going to learn stuff. So I cannot wait until you drop that take. But here's the obvious takeaway. When you suck at something and you fix it immediately, that's the mark of good coaching. And when you know the other team does something really well and you take it away from them, that's really good coaching.
Yes.
So we can sit here and we can talk about how the Steelers have only scored 51 points in 3 games or whatever it is. The Steelers, I thought, did a good job on Drake London the first game and didn't let that safety tandem take over the game. I thought the Steelers just sat on the thing in the second half last week knowing that they weren't going to lose to a rookie quarterback who actually looked pretty good this week. And then in this game, you take the runaway, you don't have penalties, and it looks the way it should when you clean up your mistakes.
I think that's a great point by you that I think we just, you know, you just said and didn't even realize. Like, look at the two teams. Look at the two teams that the Steelers played before the Chargers. Like, those teams are actually playing, like, decent. Like, even last night, I watched, I mean, Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons look like a good team going against, I mean, it's the Chiefs, I get it. But they look like they're a good football team. They do. Like, it's not like the Steelers beat the first two games, at least. They beat some bad teams. Denver's probably bad, but, I mean, what they did, the Buccaneers, I'm thinking the Buccaneers are going to go to the NFC Championship game this
year. I know. I know.
And they absolutely stumped them.
That was my shocker of the weekend, man.
Me too.
I didn't see that coming. If you would have asked me last week who the worst two teams in football are, I'd have told you the Panthers, like, by a country mile. They haven't had a lead.
And they won.
They won? They hadn't had a lead since week 13 last year.
Crazy.
A lead! What? I would have said that that was the worst team, and I probably would have put Denver.
Me too.
Right there. And the Steelers went out there in their spot and didn't let them move the football. They scored 6 points. Steelers went in there and dominated Atlanta in week one defensively and really did move the ball pretty well offensively. And you're right. Those teams probably not as bad in Denver's case and in Atlanta's case, probably pretty good. And so who cares who you play anyhow as long as you take care of business? But those wins in retrospect start to look a little bit better.
Man, I was just sitting here thinking, like, the Falcons' first 3 games, the Steelers, the Eagles, and the Chiefs, like, what? That just dawned on me as well. Like,
it's rough.
That's tough.
That is tough. And then you start looking at the Steelers' schedule, man, and you don't want to get greedy because we just talked about it, basically. It's a week-to-week league. It's a month-to-month league. You can lose to anybody. You can beat anybody. But at Indy, you're basically taking on a rookie quarterback based on his experience. Mike Tomlin dominates rookie quarterbacks. Then you got Dallas coming here. In Dallas the last couple of weeks, they've taken it on the chin. Then you're at Vegas, Vegas just lost to Carolina.
Hmm.
Andy Dalton looked pretty good. Jets at home, Giants at home at Washington. Caboli wrote, they could be 9-0. Come on. It's the NFL. Not doing that. But 7-2? 6-3?
They'll take it.
You'll take it. And the second half of the season schedule doesn't quite look as bad as it did before the season started. All right, Doran's got a take. So we got the injury report. Doran's got a Herbig take. And I'm drooling over it.
A lot. I mean, even him, Keanu, just those second-year players, Joey, you see the jump because you're so much more comfortable out there. You're not trying to, you're not just out there saying, I have the curl flat disc drop. It's like, okay, I know what I have. Now I can hear. I can use all of my senses and diagnose what I think is potentially happening on this play. And that's why I think you see that jump from those guys from year one to year two. But with that being said, it's because they want to learn. And he's capable of doing it. And he's, I mean, able to apply what he learns to the game field, which is huge.
That was TJ Watt talking about Nick Herbig. And then he got asked another question about Herbie.
I'm sick of talking about Herb. Let's just stop all this right now. Jeez Louise.
I love it. The injury report is brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. And we'll get into Faltanu in that crappy situation. And Jaylen Warren got banged up. But the injury story, the injury takeaway from this game has to be one thing. And that's Alex Highsmith going down with a groin. And then Nick Herbig comes in, has two TFLs, two sacks, and he's incredible. He just is. Anytime he's been given an opportunity, he takes advantage. And Doran, you had a take.
Well, I think that it is just so, I don't think that people understand how just big and how important it is for a player's, a young player's development, excuse me, to have, excuse me, a player like TJ Watt that you can learn from. I mean, even personally, like having Andre Johnson, you know, having even Gronk and certain players, Delanie Walker that I had at the times to learn from those players, it just helps your game out so much, and especially having the best at what you do and what they do. It just helps. And you could just tell that Herbig and what TJ said in that first clip there, that they want to learn. They're actually settling in. They're not just thinking. They're going out there and playing and doing what they're good at. And that's, you know, getting after the quarterback and doing their job. And I think that, honestly, I know that you're paying Alex Highsmith a lot of money. I think Herbig should start the rest of the season. He is almost impossible to block. I felt that for a while. I felt that last year. I felt that in training camp. I felt that in preseason. And watching that game, he had two sacks yesterday. And if you watch, go back and just key on Herbig. He is, it's a nightmare for a tackle. And that helps out TJ Watt so much more, I think, than Alex Highsmith does. Alex Highsmith's a fine player. Like him, so like his family, like everything that he does bring to the table, happy for him. I honestly think that they need to make a decision and start Herbig for the rest of the year, because I think that guy is a monster. He's impossible to block, and that helps out your defense so, so much. You talk about pinning your ears back. He does that every play. And if he's able, the question mark was, is he able to set the edge? He's proven that he can set the edge when need be. I think that they have a real question at that position. You know, you're paying a lot of money to Highsmith. I get it. But, man, does he bring a different dynamic to the table that it's almost impossible for offenses to attack.
I get the money thing. It's something you've brought up a lot over the time we've been doing the show, and it does matter. They factor that kind of stuff in. Like, they would have liked to probably play Broderick Jones earlier last year. Maybe not. But you're paying Chukwuemeka for a lot of money. They don't seem now, more than really ever, to care so much about where you were drafted or what you've been paid. Like, Broderick Jones, if not for Faltanu's injury, he'd have been riding the pine in this game. I agree with you that more Herbig, the better. And here's the thing. You talk about setting the edge and stopping the run, and they obviously value that, as they should, and Alex Highsmith is very good, probably underrated from that standpoint. But Cam Hayward, Larry Ogunjobi, TJ Watt, Patrick Queen, Alandon Roberts, their corners, I think, tackle really well. Dante Jackson has impressed me from that regard. They're going to stop the run, even if Herbig might not be as good mm-hmm. at it as Highsmith.
Mm-hmm.
So what can he bring to the table? Well, he plays in this game, has two sacks. Highsmith, This would be his third game, has one sack. Statistics, not everything. But you're right, man. Herbig just explodes.
Oh, man.
He explodes, man. Off the whenever you're watching the game, you're like, that guy looks, he, dare I say, special?
Yes. He looks different. And I loved, I don't know if you caught this, what Mike Tomlin said at halftime to Tracy Wolfson. He was doing a little sideline interview. Did you see that? I'm paraphrasing. And she talked about the injury of Highsmith and about Herbig. Like, okay, now you have to go with somebody else at that position. He's like, Herbig is more than ready to go in there and take care of business, basically. He was like, we feel really comfortable with our situation behind Alex Highsmith. And look, like they feel really good about what Herbig could bring to the table. I mean, I would even, I would even explore kicking, that sounds crazy, kicking Alex Highsmith down a little bit. We saw Liao. You see some guys that aren't as big that can't play that five technique type position, the defensive end actually positioned. Like, he is a bigger body. You can run some crazy packages. We talk about with Peyton Wilson doing different things, and in the middle, in the back end, doing different things in your sub packages, the nickel and dimes. Like, I would have packages where Herbig and Highsmith are on the same side, and then you have TJ on the other side, and you have Cam, and you could really mix it up, because he's a bigger body, he's stout, to make sure that he does get the reps he needs to get. I think that Herbig needs to play majority of the snaps.
Yeah, he needs to play more, certainly, than he had been playing, and I know that he rotates in, but it should be a true two-man rotation on that side, and I'm leaning towards your way of thinking here, Doran, with it slighted towards Herbig. And you don't know what the deal is going to be with Highsmith either. I don't know how long he's going to be out.
This is a reoccurring injury. Like, I feel like he has this every year.
When guys get pulled from games with soft tissue, they generally don't play the next week. He has dealt with this in the past.
Like groin injuries.
Yeah.
I think every year almost.
Yeah. He also, by the way, Herbig did this against Rashawn Slater, so not some sort of bum.
Exactly.
Like, that's the thing, man.
Exactly.
Right? It's not, and not that anybody in the NFL is a bum, but we're talking about a very good football player. And whoop, see ya. And here's the other thing. I saw some peeps on the Twitter. Not more than not, but I saw some people on Twitter. Well, it was Heinicke. When the Steelers had the lead, I don't care which quarterback was back there, they were going to bring the heat, and they were going to get home, and it would have looked, in my opinion, exactly the same. On a couple of those sacks late, in the Herbig second one in particular, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. You got no time.
Exactly.
I don't care how quick Herbert's getting the ball out of his hand.
The strip sack? Is that the strip? That was the second one.
That was
the first one.
That was the first one?
I think.
Wedding.
Yeah.
Cigarettes. Unfortunately, Troy Fautanu going to be out, according to reports, for the rest of the regular season. And that stinks. But for Broderick Jones, this is one man's trash, another man's treasure. Buddy, we didn't know when you'd be playing. We said probably wouldn't be until somebody got hurt. You're the guy. You are the right tackle for the rest of the regular season. And we'll see what happens. They've left the light on for Fautanu, according to reports, that if they make the playoffs, he should be able to play. So we'll see how that goes then. But Broderick, play well, and you're not going to cede that thing.
Right.
Jaylen Warren also couldn't finish. But like you've got Herbig, you got Cordero Patterson, who you were a lot higher on than me. I'm willing to say through three games, you've been right about that. Four carries, 34 yards. Three catches, for 15 yards receiving. And in the fourth quarter, you hand it off to Najee, who's going to break your face. Oh, good. Thank God they got Najee out of the game. Oh, who's this Mack truck
coming
right at my face? My God. So Steelers' depth looking pretty good, too. And they got by again with this mismatch unit offensive line. They're not playing the guys they want to be playing on the offensive line, and they still, for the third consecutive game, ran for over 100 yards. And the quarterback didn't factor in that much. He did have the rushing touchdown, but only 6 yards for Justin Fields in the game. Running backs did most of that work.
Two draft picks, too, playing next to each other, McCormick and Frazier.
I liked what I saw out of him. Not that I am an offensive line guru or anything.
I liked him the as soon as they drafted the Jackrabbit, which is what he was in college. I was like, this is a monster pick.
They have high hopes for him, too. Obviously, that's why they rotated him in, and then they had him as the tackle eligible. They said, okay, they're stopping the run. Let's just have six offensive linemen. Bang, bang, bang. Arthur Smith doing good work. And we'll get more into him later on in the show. At 7 o'clock, we will have the quarterback conversation, and we would love to hear from you at 412-928-9370. And we want you around. Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened. All right, coming up next, another football team in town is undefeated. 15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So the Steelers, not the only undefeated team in town, the Pitt Panthers. They did some work on Saturday.
And he's going to run for the pylon, and into the end zone comes Eli Holstein. Doing it with his arm, doing it with his feet. Well, that's beyond ambidextrous.
He can do it all.
So we will get into the Steelers quarterback situation coming up at 7 o'clock, but Pitt in decent hands, Doran, I would say, and 73 points put up, and I'll take the conversation wherever you want to go, as you are the Pitt guy. I just want to say this. Narduzzi still, man, deserves a ton of credit. Ton of credit. Cade Bell changing things up, 73 points. They would not have scored 73 points last year. Feel pretty confident saying that. One more thing, Pitt got 37 votes in the AP poll, so technically 30th in the country. Just keep winning football games. They'll be in the AP top 25 real soon.
It's just very nice to go into a bye week 4-0, to go into the bye week and knowing coming out of the bye week that you have a situation where you play a North Carolina team that is just so down right now. I mean, losing 70-50 to JMU. They were on their third-string quarterback during that game, and then they lose that guy, from what I was told, and now they're on their fourth-string quarterback. There's no win that isn't automatic, but you're feeling pretty good heading out of the bye week and traveling to North Carolina, and you hit it right there. I think that, you know, we can assess these first four games, and Pat Narduzzi deserves a ton of credit. So hard for especially defensive coaches, defensive head coaches, defensive minded head coaches to kind of change their ways. They're so, you know, stuck in a certain way of how they want to run things, especially how they view offense. And he, you know, went out on a limb and was like, I got to score points. Like, I got to get back to the ACC type feel of what we did on offense. And you hire Cade Bell out of Western Carolina, and you're hoping that the young guy could come and bring that high-powered offense to this level, and it's working. And then obviously you make the decision, and you have a really open competition between Yarnell and Eli Holstein, who transferred in from Alabama, and then you go with the younger guy. That competition was neck and neck. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't a huge gap between the two, but you clearly have went with the right guy. So you've made some crucial decisions over the last month that have really benefited, and it's showing right now, 4-0 next to your name, and you're starting to inch your way closer and closer to getting ranked. And the way that this season plays out, you know, for Pitt, you know, you got some quality teams that you're going to play. You got Cal, who's pretty decent. You got Clemson, SMU, Boston College, Syracuse. I mean, they are good football teams. They're okay football teams, but they're beatable. It's not like you're playing
Absolutely.
Miami. Those are beatable football teams. You have Louisville as well. So, I mean, it's not going to be easy, but those are beatable teams. So if your offense is running and just moving the way it does, you can play with anybody, as they've proven.
Eighth in the entire country in points per game, Pitt. Pitt.
Yep.
Pitt is eighth in the country in scoring offense at 48.3 points per game. And really, this is kind of nuts to say because it was just a couple weeks ago. If they played Cincinnati today, they put up 50.
Absolutely. Oh, there's so many missed opportunities in that first half. Even, you know, I talked to Cade Bell. He was like, I mean, we shouldn't even have been in this situation.
Yeah.
I talked to him after the game. He's like, did you see all the guys running open in the first half that Eli missed? Eli's second start of his career, first road start of his career. You're gonna have that. Now he's starting to settle in and really feel himself in a good, positive, confident way that he's gonna miss those guys now.
And the thing about him, man, not that you need to be told this, is when you do everything right as the defense, he's going to break your back with a first down run.
Yep.
There's nothing that guy can't do. Pitt, 48.5 points per game. Just behind Alabama, heard of them. Just a few points behind Miami. Just a few points behind Ohio State, Ole Miss, Tennessee. Those are the teams that you're talking about that Pitt is keeping the company with in terms of points per game. And again, left a lot on the field against Cincinnati. Probably did against West Virginia as well. Offense is going to probably get better. So look out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just ahead of the South Alabama Jags.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say, I'm changing my stripes. I'm going to do something I'm uncomfortable with in Pat Narduzzi. And trying it, he tried it. It could not be working better. 4-0, eighth in the country in scoring. There's 120 teams? That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Pretty good. Get more into Pitt a little bit later on in the show as well. The 4-0 Panthers, undefeated in the non-con for the first time since 1991.
Shout out to the volleyball team as well, who's number one in the country. They are undefeated. And shout out to the soccer team, men's soccer team, who's number two in the country.
I don't think that the volleyball team has lost a set.
Nope.
That's pretty good.
They're dominant.
They're going to win the national championship.
I hope so.
Yeah. All right, up next. Steelers undefeated. Their quarterback's undefeated. Quarterback has had a QB rating of 90-plus in each of his first three games. He's got to be QB1. But we want you to talk about that with us as well at 412-928-9370 on that fan hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Best caller on quarterback talk is going to win four tickets to an awesome event, which we'll tell you about when we come back. First, though, fan weather. Brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com.